Good morning, everyone. This morning we're reading from Bathsheba lesson 61. How do we visit the temple? We go to the temple to be close to God. Though Shiva is everywhere, it is in the holy temple that we can most easily feel his presence. Knowing that Shiva and the Devas can see us, we want to look our best. Before our visit, we bathe and put on clean traditional clothing. We bring an offering such as fruits, milk, and incense, or a lovely garland of flowers. The act of giving makes us receptive to blessings. Outside, we remove our shoes and wash our hands, feet, and mouth and seek blessings at Lord Ganesha's shrine. Next, we walk clockwise around the temple or the central chamber, then pay respects to each deity. If it is puja time, we sit quietly and enjoy the ceremony being performed by the priest. Through his chants, gestures, visualizations, and offerings, he purifies himself and honors the deity with choice offerings as one would receive a king. He calls upon God to come and shower blessings on all. During the puja, we focus on the acts of worship, not allowing our mind to wander. Over time, we learn the meaning of the priest's chants and rituals and mentally follow along. After the arati, we prostrate and rise to receive the flame, blessed water, holy ash, and other sacraments, receiving each item with the right hand. Then we sit quietly and meditate, or just feel the blessings wash over us. This is also a good time for japa. Worship takes many forms in a temple. Devotees can be immersed in the joys of devotion, lost in prayerful communion, seeking consolation for a loss, singing devotional songs, chanting mantras, or celebrating a rite of passage. Arriving home, we light a lamp in our shrine room to bring the devas from the temple into that sacred space. Pujas and rituals give us a chance to pause, look inward, and concentrate on something more meaningful and profound than the mundane matters of life. Puja is holy communion, full of wonder and tender affections. The indispensable part of any puja is devotion. Without love in the heart, outer performance is of limited value. But with true devotion, even simple gestures are sacred ritual. We have Gurudeva's quote. In our religion, there are altars and temples all over the world, inhabited by the devas and the great gods. When you enter these holy places, you can sense their sanctity. A number of years ago, I wrote up a list of 10 suggestions for getting the most out of visiting the temple. The idea was, if you're going to the temple, why not maximize the benefit, right? So, do it in a certain way, we get much more out of it if we do it in other ways. So here's some suggestions. Attend a puja at the temple at least once a week. This allows us to experience the divine energy of God and the gods on a regular basis and helps keep us pure as well as strong in our religious commitment. Gurudeva has an interesting way of expressing this. I think it's the idea that if he says go once a week, then maybe you'll go once every 2 weeks. So what he says is, Hindu should attend the temple every day. or at least once a week. So therefore, you probably won't go every 2 weeks. You end up going at least once a week. Well, why is that important? We can talk about that at length, but just to make one comment, one of the benefits is the flow of our karma. Karma is the experiences we're going to attract to ourselves, and the karma doesn't happen in a totally fixed way. The general experience will come, but it can come in different forms or intensities, shall we say. And particularly for negative karma, we want the intensity to be as the least possible. We don't want the intensity to be full force. If the intensity can be reduced on a negative karma, this is good. That's one of the benefits of coming to the temple on a regular basis, such as once a week. The karma, assuming we're worshiping with sincerity and all, a negative karma will work out with less intensity. It will still happen, but it won't be as disruptive in our life. It's just one of the benefits that Gurudeva explains in his writings. Two, have special traditional Hindu clothing that you only wear to the temple. Simply wearing this elegant attire helps put you in a religious mood. Of course, the children should also have their own traditional outfits for the temple. Maybe something we don't think about that often, but the clothing we wear does change our mood. Take a sports team, for example. If they were all wearing their own individual clothes and trying to function as a team, they would have more trouble than all putting on a uniform. So they all put on the same uniform, and it helps them function better as a team, just wearing the uniform. Changes their state of consciousness. So having special clothes for the temple changes our mood. Just that simple act of putting on the clothes we're going to for the temple. And this is important for children as well. I remember going to Chennai a number of years ago, and probably Kapalishvara temple there. A number of the young boys had their baseball caps on backwards at the temple. Didn't seem particularly appropriate. Way to dress. Whereas you go to Bali, for example, and it sets the high standard. Even the youngest of children are wearing traditional clothing. Every person who goes to the temple just looks so elegant, even a two-year-old. They value it. Somehow in the culture it's looked at as very important. We need to have our children dress right to go to the temple. Number three, make your travel time to the temple a religious time. Don't allow yourself to focus on problems at home, work, or school. Don't think about politics or business. Instead, play religious music, bhajans, or Sanskrit chanting on the car's audio system. Tell the children uplifting stories. This centers the family and helps them arrive at the temple in a religious frame of mind, making everyone more attentive to the sacred ceremony. In other words, if we don't do that, we just perpetuate our normal concern and discussions about mundane things. We come to the temple and we're thinking about mundane things. And it takes a while to shift our mind from those to being in a religious mood. So we're wasting time. We're at the temple and we're doing what we could have done in the car. We could have shifted our mind into a religious state of mind before we came. Number four, bring an offering. Ideally, bring a flower or fruit for each shrine at which you are going to worship. Each act of giving opens you to the blessings of the deity. When we give first, we increase our receptivity Therefore, never visit the temple empty-handed. That's very important. Receptivity. We were talking about that last talk. We used the word openness. It means the same thing, receptivity or openness. It's very important to be as open as you can to receiving the blessings of the deity, or as receptive as you can to receiving the blessings of the deity. So the opposite of receptivity is you're closed off. It's this mudra, it's the closed off mudra. Sometimes you see men at the back of the temple standing there like this, and you can tell that their wife forced them to come. They're there under protest. I'm not going to receive any blessings. I am not receptive. No, I'm just joking, but it does happen. But the important point is we want to be open. We want to be the opposite of this. And one way to be open is to bring an offering and to give it in the right spirit. And then that helps us be more receptive to receiving. So we want to give before we expect to receive. Number five, put as much time and prana into the offering as possible. Prana is the energy that exudes from your hands. Buying a garland at the store is good, but making it with your own hands is even better. When the garland charged with your prana is placed on the deity, it is as if you had touched the deity. This creates an extra closeness. Well, that's something you may not have thought about. It actually creates a psychic tie when you touch something, particularly you touch it multiple times, such as in sewing a garland, you're touching it a lot of times. You're hooked up to that, and so when that is placed on the deity, you're hooked up to the deity psychically. So that's a wonderful practice where that's possible, just to make one and have it offered to the deity. Number six, during the puja, keep focused on the murti and the priest chanting. Pay attention, don't let the mind wander. When singing bhajans, keep focused on the meaning of the words. Even if you don't know the meaning of every word, it is good to have a general idea of what the priest is chanting and what the bhajan means. The common statement I get told is, I don't understand what the priest is chanting. Why doesn't he chant in a language I can understand? Well, if he did, you'd understand it, but it wouldn't have any power. Power comes from chanting in Sanskrit. My response is always, you don't have to understand every word, you just need to understand what's going on. For example, if the incense is going around, you know, he's chanting about offering incense. Very simple. Not a complicated thing. He's offering flowers. You know, he's chanting about offering flowers. So if you just study it a little bit, you can see what he's doing. If you want to study even more, Shodasha, there's 16 steps that are outlined in lots of literature, including ours. He goes through 16 basic steps. The main point here is pay attention. As the text said, we want to concentrate on what's going on. The basic idea there is we're talking about, well, come to the temple, but that's only part of it. It's what we do in the temple that also counts. It's not enough just to come. And the example I use for that is someone's favorite music. Everyone, most people have one or more favorite kinds of music. It really uplifts them. They put on their music and they feel better. It uplifts them. They're listening to the music and it changes their mood. It improves it. But what happens if you put on the music and you don't listen to it? Your favorite music is on. You're there, but it's not uplifting you because you're not listening, right? You're not paying attention to the music. The music only influences you when you pay attention to it. even if it's your favorite music. You have to pay attention in order for it to influence you. Puja is the same. We can't expect it to influence us for us to get the maximum blessings if our body is there, but our mind is thinking about something else. It's one of the reasons the deity is made attractive. It helps us concentrate on it. Beautiful colors, beautiful clothing, jewelry. It's very attractive, so it holds our attention. Because we need that to happen in order to get the maximum benefits. Number 7, after the puja, don't rush away. Rather, sit, stay, meditate a while, and bask in the divine energy radiating out through the murti to the devotees. If one of your spiritual disciplines is to perform japa, this is also an ideal time for your mantra chanting. Gurudeva stresses this in the Master Course trilogy. He says the natural time for someone to first practice meditation is after the puja. He gives a whole practice of how sitting after the puja you can internalize the energy you've experienced, how it can take you within and awaken the amrita, the energy from the head. Beautiful description. What's the easiest time for someone to first practice meditation is after the puja, when it's a quiet place. Can't be thousands of people rushing around. Number 8, you can bring some of the religious atmosphere of the temple home with you by simply lighting an oil lamp in your shrine room when you return from the temple. This sacred act brings devas who are at the temple right into the home shrine, where from the inner world they can bless all family members and strengthen the religious force field of the home. This is one of my guru's special insights into the mysticism of temple worship. Well, I've never seen that one anywhere else, except in Gurudeva's writings. The idea you can bring the temple home if the first thing you do when you get home is light a lamp in the shrine room. Brings the vibration, brings the devas of the temple home. And if you do that at least once a week, then you're creating a strong tie between the temple and the shrine. Or your shrine is building on the temple's vibration, getting stronger by drawing on the temple. Number 9, the divine energy of the deity is stronger on some days than others. We just experienced that. Mahavira. Attending the strong days is helpful in attuning oneself to the deity's blessings. For example, there are stronger blessings on yearly festival days such as Ganesha Chaturthi for Lord Ganesha. These days are determined by the ancient science of astrology maximized for their spiritual energies. One of the challenges many temples in North America have is that people won't come unless it's a weekend. It takes too long to drive to the temple and drive back. If they're working, they can't get there. And Hindu festivals in North America are not public holidays yet, maybe in the future. But the festival gets celebrated on the weekend, where you're missing the astrology. The vibration isn't there. The special yearly vibration isn't there except on that day, except during certain hours. It needs to be done during the time slot. You need to know when the festival begins and when it ends according to the Panchangam, and then you can have it at the right time. And as the point is stating, if you're still at the stage of trying to attune yourself to a deity, sensitivity to the deity isn't that strong yet, it's really helpful to do so on the annual festival day. It's a lot easier to get closer to the deity, get more attuned to the deity on that day than any other day. Once you're strongly attuned to the deity, it doesn't matter as much. Number 10, taking a vrata, vow. for a festival is helpful in intensifying your worship. Typical vrata is to fast during the day, attend the temple festival ceremonies in the evening, and only afterwards have a meal. So there are periods, for example, in our tradition, Skanda Shashti, 6 days. It's very common for fasting on each of the 6 days. Lots of people worldwide do that. And it helps you get more out of your worship. The more you put into your worship, the more you get out. In this case, the virata helps you focus on the deity all throughout the day because you're not eating, so you're more conscious of it being a special day devoted to that deity. Well, thank you very much for listening to that.